Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody live at the Wonderland Ballroom. Yay! Tonight's guests include Travis Larchuk and Sean Phillips from The Time Machine, Haywood Turnham C. Jr. with color commentary, Adam Friedland, Natalie McGill, and Anthony Soltis Jr. of Nunchucks. Tonight's house band is Ian Graham of the Almond Bacon Brothers Band. Yay! I'm your announcer, Jamel Johnson. Whatever. Now please, put your hands together and say a little prayer for your host, Brandon Weatherby!
Hey, we did it! Give it up for Jamel, everybody. Give it up for Ian Graham of the Almond Bacon Brothers Band. He was playing our favorite song, Someday, was it Someday? Someday by Sugar Ray. Sugar Ray is the most important band ever. Sugar Ray just played Wolf Trap. It's also a sex act that Sugar Ray participates in, and they played Wolf Trap on Tuesday, and we sent a reviewer. I work for this organization called Brightest Young Things. It's the website everyone here makes fun of but still checks out and reads because there's nothing else cool in this town. Anyways, our reviewer loved the show, not ironically, so we told Sugar Ray, like, hey, on Twitter, hey, Sugar Ray, we liked your show unironically. It was good. So then Mark McGrath tweeted at us saying, thank you for getting us. And we responded with, we'll get you any day. And like hashtags about sucking his dick. So it was a good day. It was a good week. But here's the problem. Sugar Ray makes happy music, and I don't like happy things. I'm not a happy person. I've never been a happy person. I'm sort of an unhappy person. That's okay. I found somebody to die with, so it's fine. I'm not gonna kill myself. I'm not going to do anything about it either. Like, I saw the therapist for years, and she's like, this is just who you are, and I'm okay with that. I'm not neurotic. This is not a Woody Allen film. I'm not going to fuck a 17-year-old and pretend it's okay. I'm fine. That being said, every day when I wake up and I see a halo hanging from the corner of my four-post bed... Wait, why is Haywood the only one that understands that Sugar Ray reference? Anyways, I have a multiple playlists, and Granddaddy is an amazing band that comes up a lot. So today, the first song I heard and played multiple times in a row was Okay With My Decay. And it's this gorgeous song. He's saying, I'm okay with my decay. And I'm going to work. Like, I'm going to a job I enjoy and get paid to do. And I'm listening to this sad bastard music. So I get home from work, and I was like, I want to listen to happy music. I'm gonna watch the new LCD Sound System doc on Netflix. Everybody check it out. Bing Netflix. Figure out what that is. So I watch the LCD Sound System doc. And it's great. It's this 41-year-old successful man that decides to break up the band because whatever. He wants a family. That's awesome. And they play this wonderful song called All My Friends. And if you read the site Brightest Young Things and or Pitchfork, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a 7.5-minute song about aging and like doing his like really hard work and then just missing all the like shitty parts of your life. Now, I'm 30, right? I'm not at that successful level yet, or maybe never will be. Yet I'm listening to this song on repeat. I watched it in the documentary. Then I watched the video version. Then I watched a separate live version. I just played it as loud as I possibly could in my home for 4 times in a row. Almost on the edge of tears for no fucking reason. I'm in a good place in life. That's got to stop. On the walk here, I decided to listen to Local H. Now, Local H is my second favorite band of all time. These things matter. First is Nirvana. That's what you know about me. That's all. You could judge me from that. I'm fine with whatever conclusions you come to. Anyways, I'm listening to Local H, and they have this amazing cover of this song called Joey. Now, Joey was a really popular song in the late 80s, and it's all about being in an alcoholic, abusive relationship. Why am I listening? That's not a positive thing to listen to before anything, let alone talking into a microphone in front of people and for the internet. That's okay, though. I embrace that. I'm okay with alcoholism. And here's the weird, sad part about all this. I've become friends with that band. Now, that band, I've seen 30 times, and I'm 30 years old. That's not a good average. And they just play loud rock and roll music, and I love that stuff. So whenever Scott Lucas is in town, he's the singer of that band, I go see him, and then we go hang out, and we drink until 2 a.m., and then I tell him how his career should be and how it's not where it should be. That's not a nice thing to do. So what I've come to the conclusion is I'm not a nice person. I listen to really sad music, but nobody could hurt me because I have a wife, so I don't really care what you think of me. I hope you like me, but if not, fuck it. I'm going to go home to somebody. That being said, she's out of town right now, so all I'm going to do... It's going to be a horrible, sad, dark night. And that's why I'm super glad we have this talk show, because everyone around me has to bring me up, listen to sweet Sugar Ray jams. Jamel's going to get laughs. He's wearing a Greg Oden jersey for the listener at home. He's wearing a Portland Trail Blazers jersey. And Jamel, what's the hat you're wearing?
Houston Astros.
For no fucking reason. No goddamn reason. And it's brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an amazing show tonight. Ian Graham from the Allman Bacon Brothers Band, take it away. Ian does not have a microphone. Ian, what song was that?
That was like 12
Sugar Ray songs at once, which I'm a fan of. Ian Graham is in this amazing band called Lenorable, and I highly recommend that you go check them out next Saturday night at the Black Hat, opening up for a brand new band. I think it's called like Technotronica, is that it? Technophobia. Yep, that name's going to age really well. They're playing with Technophobia at the Black Hat, and you should go to that show because Lenorable's a great band. It's Technophobia's first show, and this wonderful man named Denman is in the band. Denman is a vegan, straight-edge guy, so buy him a shot. It's going to be hilarious. Jamel, how are you doing?
I'm hanging out, having a good Friday night.
I am super glad whenever you can do the show because, A, you're funnier than me, and, B, you make the world a better place.
Aw, man. That's so sweet.
This is honest.
Thanks, dude.
Now, why are you wearing a Houston Astros hat?
I'm wearing this because I got it on sale at Potomac Mills. It's $10. I needed a black hat. The end.
That's it?
I also found a button in the street. It says, "We love you" in Hebrew. For all my kosher brothers out there.
Jamel, how successful are you with the opposite sex?
I am, what's below medium?
Like a 3 out of 10.
I'm about a 3.
Really?
I'm about an Allen Iverson. I'm about a 3.
Allen Iverson now or
Allen Iverson in Tibet.
Oh, that's not good.
Current Allen Iverson.
Oh, that's really sad.
No cheeseburgers.
I'm worried about you.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, because if I was a lady and I was single, I would be very interested in you.
You do have some sex with me, dog? That's what's
yeah,
up.
Yeah, man.
Hey, people walking in the room.
Yeah.
So y'all can have sex with me, too.
This is a tribute show to Jamel Johnson and the Houston Astros. Name one Houston Astros player.
Current?
Yep.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. I know Jeff Bagwell, and that's it.
That was the correct answer. He is currently, I think, in the Hall of Fame. He's Hall of Fame eligible. Craig Biggio is also one of the greatest catchers of all time. Craig Biggio. Check out Bing Craig Biggio, everybody. All right, you ready to play on our first guest? These two men sent me a press release earlier this week for my job, and they have this art installation coming up, and it sounds amazing, and I wanted them on the show, and I'm really glad that they're here to talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Travis LeChuck. I'm sure I'm pronouncing your last name incorrectly, and Sean Phillips from The Time Machine, everybody. Hi. I am sitting next to
Sean.
And a further from me and sitting next to Jamel is
Travis.
Okay, Sean, Hi. Let Travis say his name.
Okay.
Travis.
Okay, that's listener at home, good luck telling these two people apart. It's going to be fun. Now, these two gentlemen currently and or used to work at NPR, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
Travis is current.
Travis is current. Sean is going to greener pastures. You quit.
I've quit because the job market is just too damn good right now. And because I'm going back to grad school, yeah.
And you're going to grad school for?
They call it media art technology,
uh-huh.
Which sounds like the most made up master's degree you could possibly get. But I'm there to study audio programming.
And this actually comes into play with what you guys are about to produce.
It does.
And that's why I brought that up. See, it's a segue. Now, if this was an NPR show, I would cut all of that out. One of the two of you doesn't look happy to be here. Listener at home, guess. Okay, moving on. Gentlemen, what is The Time Machine?
Do you want to do that one?
No, you go for
okay.
it.
Yeah. The Time Machine it's an art installation in a way, but it's also sort of a theater piece. Mm-hmm. It's an interactive theater piece. There's no live actors there. The entire space, you wander around on your own, and in sort of the style of Myst or the old puzzle-solving adventure video games that are no longer popular, which is why the timing is perfect for us,
You're good at selling things.
you solve interactive puzzles. Like, there's all these different art pieces that are interactive puzzles, and you solve them to reveal the story as you go.
It sounds amazing.
It's like being, the idea is basically we wanted it to feel like you were inside of a video game. That was one of the big inspirations.
Do you guys play video games?
I play a lot of video games these days.
Yeah, this is kind of the fulfillment of my long-running desire to be in a Myst puzzle. Have you ever played Myst?
I have not. I apologize.
Myst is a game where, say, you'll like run into an elevator.
Yes.
And instead of just pressing a button to make the elevator work, you have to solve this crazy puzzle where like a marble rolls down like ramps, and you have to solve a math equation and stuff. It's an amazing game. It's kind of like. The point of it is you're on an island,
okay,
and you have no idea why you're there or what happened before you were there, and there's just a series of puzzles that you solve to sort of find out what happened before you got there.
Myst is the game version of the TV show Lost.
Yeah, it is basically like
definitely.
That.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you've wanted to recreate this.
Yeah, we wanted to make it so that you could do it in real life.
Now, it's called The Time Machine because of H.G. Wells.
Correct.
And in the press release, I really enjoyed this. Why are you using the work of H.G. Wells?
Because it's no longer copyrighted.
Out of copyright.
That's right, everybody. That's a smart move. They're smart men. Now, who is your target audience? You didn't mention Myst once in the press release. Would this sell the thing or keep people away? I have no idea.
It's really hard to sell this thing.
It sounds amazing. I get like 20 press releases a day. This is the one that sounds good.
Well, I mean, from my point of view, I feel like it'd be easy to sell if the right person sees it. I feel like it's perfect.
Okay.
I feel like the person who this show is for, they know it the second they see it.
Okay.
And so the main task for us is just to get as many eyeballs on the press release, on the materials as possible, because we did a mini version of this installation at an event this year called Sound Scene. There's a group in town called Listening Lounge. They do this live audio installation event once a year. And we did it there, and it was packed all night. We had to turn people away because people were really into it there. So people who are into new media, interactive audio art, people who are into video games, or people who are just into puzzle solving. People who like have a board game night once a week or once a month or whatever with their friends, that kind of thing also. So there's science fiction fans. So there's an intersection of just a whole like cross section of nerdy activities that all kind of meet in this nerd nexus. And we are at the center of that maelstrom, waiting to reap the whirlwind.
We're in the eye of the nerd.
We're in the eye
hurricane.
Of the nerd maelstrom. It's yeah. Yes.
Why aren't you guys overweight?
Well, I'm a vegetarian. My excuse.
So is CeCe Sabathia. Do you know who that is?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm missing the. Oh God! It was the first.
Jamel, do you know who CeCe Sabathia is?
Yes, I'm familiar.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. Is CeCe or is Prince Fielder? Prince Fielder is. I'm sorry.
I mean, CeCe's got titties too.
I'm thinking of award-winning current Major League Baseball players with giant titties.
Both of them, tits included.
There you go. So he's a vegetarian. Why aren't you fat?
I used to be. Yeah.
What happened? Because it's not the puzzle diet.
In college I started exercising.
What so kind of? Let's talk about the regime. Let's go.
Oh, well, I would go on the elliptical for like a half an hour.
Do you still use the elliptical?
Sometimes.
Do you feel like you're hitting a wall, then you need to mix it up and do some weights?
Yeah, sometimes you need to vary your workout.
Yeah.
Because your body gets used to it.
I know, I'm finding that myself. No, this is I don't know why people are laughing. This is important questions that I'm actually interested
confusion?
In. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like people aren't taking us seriously at this moment.
They should be. Now, please don't be offended by this question. I have no idea what this is going to be like. I watched the Vimeo preview.
Uh-huh.
Look cool. I read the release. Sure. Sounds good. I listened to you gentlemen for the past 5 minutes. Sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what any of this means. I am incredibly confused. And is that the idea?
I mean, we are deliberately giving away a little less than I think some people would like us to, because part of it is we want people to have a little sense of mystery or a little sense of like surprise when they get there. I mean, that's another reason why some of the story elements are not directly referred to
okay.
in the materials. But I mean, we can tell you a little more. I mean, if you've ever, there's a, like, we can give you a couple examples of what the puzzles might be like.
Fantastic.
Without giving away solutions, we'll try. There's, like, for example, there's one that looks like, you walk into this environment, and it looks a little bit like a fake laboratory. There's going to part of it that's going to look like a scientific laboratory, part of it sort of like a study.
Okay.
And in this environment, there's like a stylized microscope. There's a maze with mirrors and laser beams.
Okay.
Sort of like in a laser laboratory at a university, you might see something like that. And these are these microscopes, these lasers, these radios, these other props. Every one of them. The idea is to figure out what the prop is asking you to do. So is the microscope, there's a response to that microscope. You're supposed to find out what to do with that microscope in order to get it to react and give you the solution.
You're making this sound
to
like
the
hardest thing.
It sounds amazing. It sounds incredibly difficult, but this sounds amazing.
But here's the thing, though. It is really cool, and also we went through a lot of play tests with people to make sure that we weren't doing anything that people couldn't figure out within like 5 minutes.
Right.
Okay.
So exactly.
The puzzles are designed to, and you are smart if you figure them out, but they're designed to kind of make you feel smart. You know, like there's only one way to do it, and it's fairly straightforward, and there are a lot of clues. But it's designed to make. To be fun and to make you feel like you accomplished something.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, and then unlike with a traditional play, the rehearsal process, it was play testing is the right word. Like a video game, you have beta testers. We would invite people over, our friends. They would bring other people that we didn't know, and we would set up all the puzzles in our apartments, we would steal a room at NPR without telling anybody, and we would set up all the puzzles, and people would come in and they'd try them out, and then they would give us notes on them. And the main thing was if people had fun doing it, it was in the show. And if they didn't, we cut it.
This is amazing. You know how many press releases I get that are like, hey, there's this band that looks like 1978 playing DC9. Write about that. No, that's boring. This
is
amazing.
That?
Every band ever. Every band that's coming to DC in September is going to be dressed like 1978. No, this sounds amazing. Okay. Now, are you single?
Technically, yes, I am.
Okay. Sir, you could lie. Feel free
I'm
to
not,
lie.
I'm
You're not single.
Single.
Now, I'm assuming, does your partner play games?
My boyfriend, he's really good at Super Mario 3.
Did you test?
Did he stop playing video games at Super Mario 3?
I did.
Well, that was
kind of the apex of video games, though.
Yeah, it's awesome.
No, sure.
No one's really beaten
that's,
Super
well,
Mario
actually,
3.
I played like 5 hours of Punch-Out last week, so that's fine.
Is that because you're a big fan of Broadway musicals and Mike Tyson is a Broadway musical, so you want to prepare?
That's why it was on my mind. Yeah.
Was it really?
No.
Because you were...
Well, and I accidentally downloaded the one that doesn't have Mike Tyson in it. So I can't even relive my childhood.
That's some bullshit. Okay, now, when back to the man with in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Did you test out any of these games on him?
No, he has stayed far away from this.
Yeah. This could be a breaking point in a relationship. This sounds so ambitious. What was the nut? What was the seed? What made you want to do this?
Well... So for a long time, we had been wanting... We met each other in 2008, and for a long time, we had wanted to do, like, a radio drama.
He's talking about the two of
drama.
Us.
Okay.
Yeah, not me and... What's his name?
You should know his name.
So Sean and I had been wanting to do, you know, an H.G. Wells radio drama type thing for a while, and we just never got around to it, and then... We had also been creating these interactive audio installations for Sound Scene, like Sean was saying earlier.
Yeah.
And then we went to New York, the three of us,
us two.
And the other person who was in our group, and we saw Sleep No More together.
Okay.
Have you seen this show?
I had seen it once already. It's basically, it's a interactive six-story warehouse where they're recreating scenes from Macbeth, basically. And it's an amazing show. It's so detailed. But one thing that I really wanted to do was to have a show where you could really, like, explore the environment without feeling pressured to keep up with all the actors and everything, without feeling pressured to follow people around. So... after we saw that show,
That's when we changed the format a little bit because a few months.
Yeah.
I remember a few months before that we were having lunch, And we had this, we were talking about two separate ideas. One was this idea where we wanted to just do a night of a bunch of different interactive audio installations. And another was, I was trying to think of a way, for whatever reason, I was on this kick. I was like, I want to figure out a way to do like Doom in real life. Like
where you go to hell and kill Hitler again?
Yeah, exactly.
That game?
I think, yeah, sort of a, that's Wolfenstein
that
and Doom
of Wolfenstein,
kind
of.
But same guys. And so those two ideas, and along with this radio drama, we're like, well, you know, we don't have time to do all three of these. Why don't we just make them the same thing? We'll do this interactive show with a bunch of audio pieces that you can like, you know, that are like interactive art, but then we'll throw in all the H.G. Wells stuff and the theatrical elements that we like from Sleep No More.
So
we'll just do one sort of mashup of all these ideas.
So it sounds like the thesis is a haunted house for people that want to solve a puzzle.
Yeah.
And it makes you smarter at the end.
It makes you feel smart. Yeah. No, that's actually, a haunted house is actually a really good description of it. There's a very haunted house element to it. Absolutely.
How big is the space you're working
it's
at?
It's not scary.
Well, how no. It's
scary for dummies. I mean,
it's about 2,500 square feet.
That's a big space.
Yeah. So there's plenty of room. You know, so part of what we wanted was for people to feel like when they come in, the show is sold in, the tickets are sold in groups of six. So you come in with up to five other friends. And there's not that many people in the space at one time. We stagger the shows by 20 minutes. So you have the time to wander around and feel like you're really discovering it on your own. It's that feeling of discovery that's missing from like the other live stuff we've seen, where it's like you're rushed or you're sitting in an audience with a bunch of other people. You're not a part of it. We wanted it to really feel like you were in a place. You were somewhere where you could walk around and figure it out on your own, like in a great science fiction movie or game, but you know, you get to be in it instead of just watching.
There's also a lot of layers to this show in terms of
That's a good word. I like layers.
In terms of on the top layer, it's really fun and you can have a good time. But if you really drill down and you solve enough of the puzzles, you'll realize that there's like secrets hidden in there. All of the puzzles are connected in a way that if you figure it out, like, will be a really cool extra thing. It also came out of, I watched Lost all the way through, and like a lot of people, was really crushingly disappointed at the end, at the lack of a payoff. So this show, I feel like we tried really hard to make sure that everything came together at the end and that there actually is something for you to discover during it.
This sounds amazing. This is amazing.
That's kind of what we were trying to do.
It opens on the 22nd.
22nd of August.
And it runs until?
September 1st.
September 1st. It's not a very long run. Now, how many shows? Is it one show a night?
No, there's, depending on the night, weeknights there's three or four, and on the weekends we're also doing matinees, so there's more like 10.
So it's the kind of thing where we're going to let a new group in every 20 minutes.
Right,
groups
exactly.
Can be
this is, so yeah, I mean, the tickets are on sale now, hgwellsshow.com.
I'll put it in the Twitter, links to the podcast description, because no one will remember that.
Timemachine.brownpapertickets.
That's right, brown paper tickets.
Travis, have you ever sold a show before?
Never.
Don't mumble the ticket link. I want this to be huge. This is, oh god.
Well,
damn.
Then buy a ticket, please.
All right, I'll go.
And bring five of your friends.
Okay. I will. God damn, I am so excited about this.
Be the change you want in the world. Be,
exactly.
Yeah.
But we could both agree that Obamacare is just a horrible idea, right, guys? Right, NPR? Okay, please put your hands together for Travis and Sean from The Time Machine. Check it out August 22nd through September 1st. Go watch the Vimeo preview. If you watch the Vimeo preview, you will want to go to this show. Thank you guys so much for doing it.
Thank
you. Ian Graham from the Allman Bacon Brothers Band, play him off. It's nice to have people that are creating like really cool art, but not like art. You know what I mean? Like there's concrete stuff. That being said, I was looking at your face during that interview. Are you okay physically?
Oh no, I'm fine. I was just getting some weird texts. A friend of mine was calling me a bitch.
That's kind of what your face looked like.
Yeah, I was getting called.
No, you didn't look like a bitch. You just like, why is someone calling me a bitch?
Yeah, I was getting called a bitch for no reason. Here's what happened.
Who's your friend?
My friend Roxy is my homie from back in Woodbridge. Okay, this is what she texts me.
Go ahead.
She goes, I may or may not have been looking at pictures of Jason Lee for the past hour. She just leads with that, which I don't even, like, why are you...
Jason Lee from My Name is Earl?
Yeah.
And Mallrats?
Yeah.
Isn't that Jason Lee?
That's the one.
That's Jason Lee, right?
Yeah. So she's looking. So she's Google imaging this.
He should be a pro skateboarder. He's in a Sonic Youth video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I go, hey, that happens to the best of us, you know? And then she's like, which part? And I was like, the Jason Lee part. And then she goes, I knew you was gay. You probably typing with your claw nails, with your feet up wearing wedges, listening to the boy's mind like a little bitch.
Okay. A.
Yeah.
Your face matched that text perfectly. I'm really sorry. You need to cut off contact with her.
It's cool, man. I just don't understand. Like, why? Why? Why do you have to? Why was it even necessary to tell me that she was looking at pictures of Jason Lee? Couldn't she just say hi?
Our next guest might be able to help. He's here for a segment called Color Commentary. He's one of my favorite people in Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the extremely funny Mr. Haywood Turnipseed Jr. Haywood, how are you?
Hello, sir.
Haywood, what T-shirt are you wearing tonight?
Bob Marley T-shirt.
Whose dreads are longer, Bob Marley's on your T-shirt or yours in real life? I'm serious question.
Don't ask me no bitch-ass questions.
See, now, why is that a bitch? Why is that a bitch-ass question? Why is that a bitch-ass question?
I have no idea, but it just flows.
I'm sorry.
It just flows. That's just
his
how that's
dreads are so long, they literally go into Marley's dreads on the T-shirt.
Somebody
it's a continuous
asked me,
dread.
Somebody asked me earlier. They were like, yo, is that your face in your T-shirt? I was like, get the fuck out. Get the fuck out of my face. Get your bitch ass out of my face. Hey, Jamel.
What's going on, player?
What's up, bitch?
Stop calling him a bitch. He's sensitive right now.
No, that was just wrong. That was wrong for that person to do all
apologize
that.
Apologize to Jamel.
With your claw nails. That the bitch part is...
That's weird.
The claw nails is with your feet up. Like, that was detailed. Like,
yeah, right?
With your claw nails and your feet up. Like, you going, bitch, yeah, Jason Lee, I'd be
do
doing that
do you think
all
she walked
time.
In on her dad doing that?
Yo, she got issues. That's yeah, all of them. First of all, she texted Jamel during the show.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Like, yo, get a life. How about listen to the show? How about listen to
Haywood does a segment called Color Commentary. Haywood, what's our topic this evening?
My topic is bitches. No.
You want to do bitches instead?
We can. We
all right,
can.
Let's like, do bitches. Let's word, okay, like, throw the script out. We're doing bitches.
Yeah, we were going to talk about racism in summer movies, but this is so much
we
better.
We can still
right
talk
there.
About racism and bitches.
No. We're going to talk about racism. Color commentary is all about.
Yeah, it's fun.
Color commentary is about the lack of color on this show, minus and beautiful Ian.
Ian from the Allman Bacon Brothers
the
Band.
The Allman Bacon Brothers Band.
That he's Cherokee, everybody. Ian
he's
going
to die one day, and it's going to be 6 degrees to separate the rest of us from him.
You thought that was going to land, didn't you?
I know.
You started that.
Knew,
you started that
I
thing.
Knew it was
this
a bitch-ass joke. It was
you,
a bitch-ass joke.
But it was... But you finished it, and that's important.
Which is makes me not a bitch. Which is okay. So bringing that full circle, like okay, she called you gay because that's basically what we do for the show is right. Like you guys are young urbanites now, and by you I mean the audience and also the listening audience. Basically, it's a lot of white people colonizing America again, but in a whole other way. Like we're just gonna colonize this neighborhood. It's racism in movies.
So wait, do you think podcasting is just colonizing all of America?
Hey, yeah. Wasn't no Negroes in here 6 months ago podcasting. They was like, hey, we going to dance, dance, dance. And look what happened. It's a parallel universe. okay, racism in movies, right?
Yes.
Like, we bought a zoo. Like, I saw that movie and I was like, yo, this is all about gentrification. Because, like, I know black people that got to get a Lone Max title loan. You know, to get prom dresses for their daughters. And somebody gave him a loan to buy a zoo, which is a whole other way of saying, hey, I bought a house in a nice urban community, but I don't want everybody to think I'm racist. Yeah, we better talk about bitches.
Okay, here's the problem with that. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with that. Here's the problem with doing that material in this room. Has anyone in this room seen We Bought a Zoo?
See, you saw it. It's on HBO.
One.
They white. One they bought zoos. What are you talking about? They bought zoos. They bought houses and communities going, and they go like, yo, I feel so bad that we're doing this to this community. But we're not bitches.
All right, Wolverine. next on the thing is Wolverine.
Well, no, actually, I was going down the summer movie reading list. I'm sorry, I took it out of your hand. I was going down the summer movie reading list, and I was like, there's all these movies, right, that are very, very, like, Man of Steel, Wolverine, and I was going to get real mad at Hollywood and be like, again, they fucking Negroes. There ain't no movies about Negroes. But then I'd go down the list, and there's this movie, Fruitvale Station. Yeah. And I was like, art imitates life. In a world where we have to deal with, like, the Trayvon Martin story, we get to see exactly, like, why nobody cares. So
I just have a horrible idea. Not idea.
The joke didn't even land, so don't worry about it.
I have a horrible reality. You know who's going to play Trayvon in the movie?
Nick Cannon?
No, it's going to be Will Smith's kid.
I don't even want to see the Nick. I don't even want to see that. See, and this is my thing. Like, this is what racism is. I don't even want to see it. And that's my whole point. I don't want to see the Trayvon Martin story. I want to see a black man in Man of Steel. I want to see black
superheroes. No, that already happened. It's called Steel and Shaq started.
Well, that's Kazam without
it's literally called Steel.
I saw it. I have a
remember
room.
He was fucking the chick in the wheelchair?
No, Ray J
Wait,
was in
what?
It. That's who's going to play
Steel, the movie.
Ray J was in it.
Actually. I haven't seen Steel.
You didn't see it?
Yeah. No, why would I watch that?
His main squeeze.
Well, you bitch. We saw it. We saw it. You got to see it.
Watch Steel together?
Yeah, Ray J is in it. It's awesome.
How old is Ray J in the movie? Ray J, like 10?
Like a little kid.
12.
Oh, okay. 12. So yeah, he's a little kid.
All
right.
Well, so my whole point was like, there's all these movies.
Wait. Back to Steel. He was having sex with a lady in a wheelchair?
Well, that's presumed.
He didn't have sex with a lady in a wheelchair. He did not. Shaq was not that guy. See, they don't even know the movie we're talking about.
Steel.
Everybody knows Steel. It's
like, no one knows Steel.
Imagine Kazam.
You guys can't even agree in Steel.
Imagine Kazam, but better.
Yes, exactly. A better Kazam. A better Kazam. I want to see a good Steel. Like, Steel is a DC comic book character, right?
It is, yes.
And he was the black Superman. When Superman died and he came back, it's four different people. One of them was black.
Yeah.
And they decided to make a movie about it, putting Shaquille O'Neal in it. And I was like, that's bullshit. Make a movie nowadays and put, like, The Rock in it, you know? That would be great.
You ever see...
Wait. Why?
Because The Rock is black, and The Rock is great.
Is The Rock black?
You see? That's my point about black racism in movies. That's my point.
I thought he was Samoan.
The Rock is ambiguously black. His daddy is Rocky Johnson, the wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. His mama's Samoan, so they made him
a
Samoan king.
But
he's also on the cover of Essence Magazine this month, which you can see at your grocery store, which you go to in your gentrified neighborhood.
Thank you so much.
So, like people don't know that The Rock is black. Like, here's another one. What's his name? Fast and Furious. Vin Diesel, right?
No, he's just short.
He also is black.
You're mixing him short and black again.
No, he's...
There's a thin line between black and tan. That should be noted.
See, I don't even want to go in on this bit anymore.
Yeah, you did. It was your idea.
Because you guys are making me mad. Because, like, yo, that's the whole point.
You
brought
up Vin Diesel. He's a great guy.
I have the summer movie top three right
here.
Let's do it. The Smurfs, The Conjuring... And if Chris Rock wasn't in Grown Ups, that would be a mighty white list. It would look like the Oscars, minus Django.
You can't say Smurfs.
Smurfs are blue people.
It's not people.
Smurfs are blue people.
The Conjuring.
Put the Smurfs in space. It's Avatar.
And Wolverine that cast is. I'm shaking Jamel's hand because that was very funny.
He called me Jamel. Yeah, what the fuck?
Holy shit! No, that's racist.
Did you hear that shit?
I did it.
We bought a zoo.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
We bought a zoo.
This is what I put into the
podcast.
My face on the shirt. It is Bob Marley's face. This is why
I was looking at Jamel's face on your shirt.
Jamel's face on my shirt. Wow. Jamel, whose jersey are you wearing? Yours? This is my point about summer fucking movies. This is my point about summer movies. They remade The Lone Fucking Ranger, and they couldn't find one lone goddamn Indian, the Indian, in The Lone Fucking Ranger. The Rock could have played the Indian in The Lone Fucking Ranger, and you would have thought it was right on. That's my whole point. Fruitvale Station. I fucking hate Hollywood and I hate summer movies. And I you know what I've been watching
all
year?
You hate me. I just called you Jamel while shaking your head.
I do. I'm really mad at you right now. And I love this guy. Like, his look like Steve Allen, motherfucker.
Thank you so much. No one here knows that reference.
I know they don't, but you get it.
Wolverine cast is mostly Japanese.
Yeah, whatever.
It's
so is the cast of Django shit.
No, you can't say that for every movie.
Yes, I can.
You've been saying that shit since December.
That's what I've been watching since December. It's the only movie I watch every Friday. Every Friday I go, there's a new movie coming out. I love movies. I love 3D movies. I love the good movie-going experience.
Was Django in 3D?
Nope, and it should have been.
Yeah, it would have been great.
That would have been great. I'd have been like, yeah, Jamie, kill them all. Kill him because he called me Jamel. Jamel, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, Jamel.
Hey, man, dude bought me a sandwich. I don't.
He's like,
no, no.
Jamel is really in his mind going, bitch.
If it makes you feel any better, when we were doing this to record it for the TV, Jamel called me by the wrong name.
I didn't call you by the wrong name. I called myself the host of the show.
And you,
which is the wrong name.
And I called you Jamal. I did do that as well.
Yeah. Let's not get Leonardo DiCaprio any angrier over here.
My bad.
Thank you so, hey. Listen, Jamel.
Hey, man. I like that. See? We're playing this banter.
Yeah, it's good.
This is a banter. See, we picked it up. It was going down. We picked it up. They with us now. Even they from South Carolina, too. They're really with us. They're like, call him Jamel again. That's what we call them all. Isn't his name Jamel?
Oh, shit.
Jamel? What you talking about? Anyway, Man of Steel. Man of Jamel?
Hey, hold on. Hey, okay, wait. I was about to say some shit to you, man. You got to start fucking with that Justice League cartoon on fucking Netflix.
I do.
Because the Green Lantern's black,
yeah,
and there's always a nice little sprinkling of racism,
yeah,
for
you. Really? Did you see the one where Hawkman was like, you're dating him?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. You ain't even from this planet, son. You don't even know he's a nigga. You don't even know the word nigga. You just know he's got on a green outfit and his skin is different. He was like, you dating him? I was like, wow. And this is the shit. This is why we can never forget Trayvon Martin.
Oh, I thought you were making a funny 9/11 joke.
Yeah, no, then it went the Django, other way. Man. Never forget. That's my motto.
Did you see
forget.
The cover of Ebony this month?
Ebony?
Yeah.
Who's on the cover? Oh, yeah. It says, yeah.
Did you see the tweets about it?
I don't. Man, here's my whole philosophy on it, man. It's like, okay. And honestly speaking, because you and I haven't talked about that other than in private, but we could talk about it in color commentary. My comment on the whole thing is, it was, you know, this whole thing is bullshit. It's designed to get us upset. The dude lives in Florida, man. They have stand your ground law. In Florida, they have casinos. If I'm leaving a casino and anybody steps to me, they're getting fucked up. That's my opinion.
And you're right, and that's why no one should ever go to Florida.
True story. I've never gone to Florida.
On the flip side, it's a really sad thing that people actually wanted justice out of that. Like, it's Florida.
Yeah, that's funny.
What did they expect?
You guys are silly.
It's Florida. Like, there's an ill parallel universe where, like, okay, there is a parallel universe where, like, actually Al Gore won Florida and, like, people care about global warming and Trayvon Martin never happened and Weapons of Mass Destruction is an ill hip-hop group. They're like multicultural and they have a gay front man and Chick-fil-A is their sponsor. This ain't it. That's what I want to say. This ain't it. This ain't it. Like, I'm from the era where Rodney King got his ass whooped and the people got off and then I had to go to school the next day.
Hey, let me ask you. Okay, I'm going to say something offensive here.
Jamel.
But tell me. I don't know if it's offensive or not, but tell me if you fuck with this here. Like, we've been talking about this fucking Trayvon Martin shit. And first off, like, all right, another black dude gets jerked in court. Let me put my sandwich down. Nah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, okay, that's what happens.
That's how we feel.
That's big fucking
deal. That's how we feel.
But people are like, okay, so racism is still around. Are things really racism better? It's
I will
different.
Fight every nigga at a Kenny Chesney concert. That's what the football players say. People are like, oh, there were only two. There were only two niggas at a Kenny Chesney concert.
But there was a lot of white niggas.
They were literally
there. There was a lot of white niggas, though.
My whole point.
We got to stop this because the only people that aren't uncomfortable are on this stage, and I'm pretty sure. I'm with you.
I'm going to talk. I had something
listen,
to
listen, Jamel, I am with
this.
You.
Imagine this. Here's what just happened, right? They bought a zoo and they walked past a monkey cage and we throwing shit in their face.
And that's how
we're like, oh, yeah, this happens. Yeah, goddammit.
That's how.
Reverb.
You know what's so great? I don't think Haywood realizes that every time he yells into the microphone, it's creating so much noise. We're getting feedback from the amplifier. That's amazing.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not sorry.
No, that's hilarious. It's amazing. Why are you looking at RIPD on your phone?
Because I want to kill myself. But I'm just looking at movies.
We got to end this.
But I might go see. I might go see it.
Like, high.
I like Jeff Bridges.
But you'll be high.
Of course.
Oh, okay. Then it's okay.
But that's like, when am I not?
Jamel could be... in Florida. Jamel hosts this great show on Tuesdays at Solly's.
Tuesdays.
Jamel also hosts Highway Robbery. Jamel, what other shows do you host?
I show shows Wednesday here. I get text messages on my phone from people who like don't know I'm having a show. and you can follow me on... Actually, you can follow me on Twitter at PK Soccer Niggas.
It's just Soccer Niggas. at Soccer Niggas, okay? It's a soccer
if you
Twitter
felt
account.
Comfortable before.
It's fun.
We've Ladies and gentlemen, about- please put your hands together for Haywood Jamel Turnipseed Jr. Thank you, Jamel. Coming to the stage is a very important man, and he's an artist, and he makes me feel really happy that I am part of this wonderful city and this wonderful art scene. Ladies and gentlemen, give him your ears, give him your eyes for a true artist, Mr. Adam Friedland, everybody.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Hi, Adam. How are you this evening?
How's it going, Jamel? How are you?
That's funny. It's a callback.
Yeah,
shake my
callback.
Hand. All right, okay.
How's it going, now, Ian? How's it going, Jokar Tsarnaev? How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
Did you just call him the Boston Bomber?
What?
Okay. Adam,
yeah.
You're on the show tonight, and
I
know you because you're an artist in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen you perform a lot of different type of art. What kind of art are you going to perform this evening?
Well, I don't know if you guys know me, but my name is Adam Friedland. I do goofy ha-has a lot of the time. I do silly spoofs and boofs, you know, and I just try to go for the laugh, okay? Mm-hmm. And I've decided that tonight and for the rest of my life in perpetuity, mm-hmm. It's not about the laughs anymore. It's about the communication between the artist and his audience or his or her audience.
Okay.
So I've decided to embark on a new path tonight in the art of storytelling.
That sounds amazing. Now, are you a storyteller now?
I'm a storyteller. I'm a teller of tales.
Would you like to tell one of your tales this evening?
In fact, I would, Brandon.
That would
Thanks
be fantastic. Now, would you like to stand while you tell your tale? Or
yeah,
would
I'll
you,
stand
okay.
up. I'll stand up, and I'm going to tell a serious, mature story. And
okay.
It's very serious, so it's about my life.
Okay.
So, everyone, please, for the next 45 minutes, please be quiet. And... and please take that stupid fucking look off your face. And I'm going to tell you stories. Can you kill the guitar feedback? Thank you. Okay. Can I get a round of snap applause? Can everyone snap? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. One thing that I always say is that when you break up the word history, you get his... and story. And I think that's pretty neat because when you think about it, history is just stories. And his, in this case, my own history is me. I am his, and this story is his. And his is me. So that's something that is interesting about history or herstory, if you're a lady. Okay. Something that is weird is that I used to be a baby. In fact, when I meet a person, I always ask them, have you been a baby before? And they always say yes, or sometimes they say, I don't know. Sometimes. The point is that no one I've ever spoken to has ever said, no, I've never been a baby. So it's probably true that being a baby is inextricably linked with your history or herstory. thank you. Thank you. I haven't told the story yet. When I was a baby, I had a mom and a dad, and they used to say that I was the most beautiful baby in the world. So beautiful, in fact, that that they held a party and invited all of their friends and family to look at me and to tell them how good I looked. They wrapped me in a blanket, and they put me on the kitchen table for all of the people to see, and well-wishers and onlookers crowded around and tickled my beautiful baby feet and touched my beautiful baby body. My aunt was being a cunt the whole time. But it was like whatever, you know. Auntie Deb always has to make everything about herself because she has the Princess Anastasia complex, and she always gets mad at people for not validating her reality. But I was so beautiful that no one in the room noticed her cuntitude. After a little while, the people around me chatted and they ate food, and then an old wizard walked into the party, and he had a long gray beard and he had yellow gray teeth, and his breath smelled like pickled cucumbers and gefilte fishes. And little did I know, this wasn't just a party for beautiful me. It was also a party for the wizard, too. We were like the co-stars of the party, sort of like Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan in the movie Good Will Hunting. The wizard took out a box, and a wooden box, and he opened it and he took out shiny silver implements out of the box, and there was a pair of surgical scissors and a pen-like object that had a sharp blade on the end of it. With a twinkle in his eye, the old wizard looked at me and he smiled, and then he pulled down my diaper, and he showed everyone my beautiful baby penis. And everyone said, wow, or oh my God, when they saw the penis. It was the most beautiful penis on the most beautiful baby boy. That's a great penis, said my uncle. You're right, said my dad. I love it so much. Mamma Mia, said an Italian guy. That's a spicy pepperoni on that baby a boy. The wizard raised his hands and the room fell silent. He closed his eyes and he furrowed his brow and he was concentrating on something very important. And then he recited a spell in some distant tongue. It sounded like someone having like a gerbil in the back of his throat. Then he touched my penis. His fingers were cold, and they made my penis cold too. Everyone was smiling at how great he was doing at touching my penis. Go ahead, touch the beautiful baby on the penis, they said. He took his scissor-like implement and he squeezed the excess skin at the end of my penis together, and with a quick snip, he removed the skin. A blinding white pain rushed through my body. Blood dripped from the incision where my phantom skin had once dangled. My eyes welled up with tears and I began to cry. The deflated skin from my beautiful baby penis lay next to me on the kitchen counter, like a sad gummy lifesaver. Wither, beautiful penis gummy lifesaver, I said. Hopefully we will meet again someday, Kimosabi, the skin said to me. In this life or the next, old chap. An uproarious applause shook the room. My grandmother was crying and my uncle was hooting and hollering. The Italian guy started vomiting a pasta fagioli. And my aunt was still being a cunt. So he is perfect. He is perfect. He is the most beautiful baby boy. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Adam. Time for plugs. That was an amazing story. People can see you perform storytelling all over Washington, D.C. and the East Coast. What's a show that you want to plug?
I teach storytelling class at Howard University Medical Center. It's me and this guy, Antonio. We don't go in the building, but it's outside of it. And if you want to just talk, we just make art with our stories. So, Antonio, you can recognize him. He wears a suede vest with no shirt underneath of it. And he's teaching me, and I'm teaching him. It's like the movie Finding Forrester, kind of. It's a beautiful story about a basketball star and Sean Connery.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for DC's premiere. Oh no, you're not done. I thought you were done.
If you want to find me, I'm doing a storytelling competition. Okay, competitive stories. It's through the story NFL, and it's the story National Football League. Basically, seven people enter, and one wins $23. But everyone else has to send a dick pics to their parents. So the stakes are high, if you know what I am talking about. 420, right? Also, if you want to find me, I am a card-carrying member of the Subway Sub of the Month Club. Subway and I cut a deal where if I have 12 six-inch Subway sandwiches, I get the 13th one free. So if you want to go there or the Burger King, King Kids Club with the kid that's blind, the black one that's blind. Or if you want to find me, you can find me at McPherson Square Metro Station on Tuesdays at 12 in the midday, noon, as I like to call it, as they say in the classics, noon. And actually, I stand at the Metro and I tell people stories about books that have been, like, I tell people the story of Harry Potter 2 or other books that they want to hear about, because stories are his and story. So that's where the word comes from.
Thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate you being here. Put your hands together for DC's premier storyteller, Mr. Adam Friedland.
If you want to find me, you could also...
No, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. Sorry, buddy. Next time. Next time. More plugs next time. Coming to the stage to teach me a lesson that I obviously... Oh, you're staying. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Natalie McGill, everybody. Natalie, come to the stage. Play her on, Ian. Play her on. Play her on. Play her on. Are you standing? Okay. Natalie, why are you on the show this evening?
I'm here because I want to play a little game with the crowd. Is that okay with
you? Absolutely. Now, what is this game?
All right. So... So on the sheet of paper that I have are a list of quotes. And what I'm going to ask the audience to do, and Brandon to do, and Jamel to do, is to distinguish whether what I'm reading is a line from a Tyler Perry movie or from the inside of a Hallmark mahogany card.
Now, Natalie, I think tonight is blatantly the best time for you to be on this show because of my blatant racism. So this is going to teach me a lesson.
Yes.
About a lot of things. Great. All okay, right. So how do you want to do this? Crowd participation? Like, we just guess?
Right. So what I'm going to do is, well, actually what I wanted to do was give everybody a little bit of a background on both of these things before we get into the game.
Okay.
All right, so Tyler Perry, if you guys don't know him, known for dressing in drag, known for taking everybody to church in his movies. Mahogany cards, if you guys aren't familiar with those. Imagine if the Plessy versus Ferguson trial was about greeting cards instead of rail cars.
It's pretty accurate.
And you'll get a mahogany card. And just in case you guys want to know what we're dealing with, I brought a sample of a card to read for you, just in case you guys thought this was going to be easy. And
nice.
For the people who are listening, I'm just going to describe the front of the card. It's a silhouette of a sexy woman, and inside of the woman is the following phrase: if fries come with that shake, I'll take the combo. And the inside reads, with a little extra shake, please. Happy birthday, baby. So, just in case you guys are not familiar with the cards, that's what we're working with. So, what we're going to do is...
Natalie, really quick, who's more racist, mahogany card or me?
mahogany card by like a long shot.
But that pause made me think it's pretty close.
Yeah.
All right.
By all right. So what we're going to do is, generally, I say nobody wins in this game, or like society doesn't win because he still makes movies. These cards still exist. But because I want you guys to participate, what I'm going to do is, you know, get a crowd vote on what you guys think it is. You guys keep your own personal tally, and then I will give you guys a starburst for every correct answer that you get. And just to make it clear, I went through all of them and picked out all the pink ones. So in case anybody's like wondering, like, oh, I got a green one, I got a red one, they're all pink, so nobody can complain, okay? All right, so here's the first one. Even lovers can get blindsided and act the fool, but here's the thing. I refuse to trash something as powerful as our love because we've had some drama. Nope. I'd much rather put drama in its place, the past. All right.
Let's do panel. I'm going to go mahogany. Adam?
Drama is actually...
Come on! Hurry up!
Drama is from the movie Entourage. So he's the older brother of the crew, Vinny, Turtle, and Easy.
So you're going to Tyler Perry.
I don't know the game. We're
Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry.
Mahogany.
Mahogany
Jamel?
It's either mahogany or my dad.
Crowd, is it?
Crowd by show of hands. Who thinks it's mahogany? All right.
Majority thinks it's Tyler Perry.
Majority thinks it's Tyler Perry. It's a mahogany car.
I won that shit.
One shorty, I see you.
I told you guys it's going to be hard. You don't All right. All right, here's the second one. You guys have to remember to keep your tally. All right.
Quiet, please. This is important.
It's going to get rowdy.
All right. A lot of guys out there think they're men because they act tough and talk rough. Real men know that wisdom is true strength, that gentleness is a virtue. A lot of guys brag. Real men don't have to. Their actions speak louder than words. All right. Tyler Perry movie or mahogany card?
Mahogany.
I have a question about Tyler Perry. He makes the Madea movie.
Yes.
Madea, yeah.
What? Why does the lady that plays Madea only get that role? That is sexist on the part of Hollywood. She has great comedic timing. She is a woman. She's a little
Jamel,
bit bigger.
Jamel, Tyler Perry, or...
I'm going Alex Cross.
Okay.
All right.
You're going Tyler Perry. I'm going cards.
Show of hands in the crowd who thinks it's Tyler Perry. All right. And who thinks it's mahogany? All right, it's another mahogany card.
Yes!
Brandon's on a roll.
Really quick, I was kind of thrown because how many greeting cards are for men?
That's true. That is a good
question. Is that a Father's Day card?
No, that was a Father's Day card.
Okay,
yes.
There you go. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's number three. Don't you ever get tired of doing the right thing, because in the end, that's what pays off. All right, mahogany card or Tyler Perry?
Tyler Perry, go. Adam.
I'm going to phone a friend.
Okay, perfect, Jamel.
Mahogany.
Okay, mahogany.
All right, show of hands, who thinks it's Tyler Perry?
Tyler Perry.
And who thinks it's mahogany? All right, most of you guys got that one. It's Tyler Perry.
Yes. Yes. 3-4-3.
That is from Meet the Browns. Released in 2008.
Wait, really quick, crowd, why is that funny? Because I think it's funny too, but I don't know why. Natalie, why is that funny? Because you kind of laughed.
I was thinking of like the underlying shit reference.
Yeah, that's
why
I was laughing. Is that why people were laughing? Okay. Yes. Okay, thank
you. All right, here's number four. Young black women, you are more than your thighs and your hips. You are beautiful, strong, powerful. I want more from you. Take your place. All right.
Tyler Perry.
Katy Perry. California girls are on the internet.
Jamel!
Right?
What he said.
California girls.
Katy Perry.
All right. Show of hands. Who thinks it's Tyler Perry? And who thinks it's mahogany? All right. Tyler Perry.
Yep.
Nice.
4-4
All right. All right. So this will be last one.
Perfect.
All right. Wishing to be somewhere else but here, and it's all right. I can't wait to see your face. I need a smile in your embrace.
Those are Sugar Ray lyrics. Ian Graham from the Allman Bacon Brothers Band said Sugar Ray lyrics. I think it's a mahogany card in a Tyler Perry movie. Adam.
Well, I just think that racism is wrong.
Jamel!
Wrong answer! Jamel!
I just want to fucking kick racism in his stupid cunt. My dad. I want to kick it in the cunt.
That's your dad again?
Yeah.
Jamel says it's his dad.
All right.
Fucking cunt
last
racism.
Last one. Show of hands. Who thinks it's Tyler Perry?
You don't even have enough Starburst to eat.
There's one. This is
one. Damn. All right, who's
one.
Mahogany?
Mahogany. It is.
It is Tyler Perry.
Shit. Shit. Wait, wait, wait.
Yes.
Was it a card in a Tyler Perry movie?
No. Surprisingly, no.
Damn it. That's a hard game.
Yeah. See, this is exactly why I did this game.
It's a fun game.
Yeah. So I think you guys got got 2/3 of them right, I think.
I was 4 for 5. Adam was 5 for 5. Jamel, they were all by his dad.
Yeah, they're all my dad. This is a fun game next time you guys want to be racist at a party, a dinner party.
Yeah. It's a good icebreaker.
Break this one out. If you don't have any black friends for
really
real.
Cuts the tension.
Tyler Perry,
just talk about this shit.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Now, Natalie is not only a cultural...
I love black people so much.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank
Natalie
you.
Is not just a cultural critic. She's a very, very funny stand-up. Natalie, where can people see you next?
I will be performing this Sunday at the Iota Club and Cafe in Woo! Arlington. And I will also be at the Pratt Street Ale House on the 15th in Baltimore.
That's awesome. Natalie is amazing. She is not only is she funny, she's a positive influence on every single person that's been on this stage tonight. She cares about people, and she's not a drunk, and she doesn't abuse people like everyone else has been on the stage tonight. And I'm including the two gentlemen I just met for the first time tonight. So, Natalie, thank you so much
thank
for doing
you
this
for
show.
Having me.
Follow
All
her
right.
on Twitter, Little Owl.
At Little Night Owl.
Little Night Owl. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the extremely funny Natalie McGill.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
All right. Do you guys think that where Medea goes, Ernest has already been? Do you think?
Holy shit. I was going to cut you off, but
that was deep.
We're all eating Starburst. This is the worst thing to eat on mic. Mm. Oh, God.
There's professionalism.
It is.
Do you think that...
Get off the stage.
They're just writing Ernest all over again.
Give him the mic. Who am I speaking with?
Anthony Saltis Jr.
Anthony, what are you going to do for us this evening?
Sing some songs.
You're going to sing some songs? That's called music.
That I wrote.
Fantastic. What did you think of Jamel?
Which one?
Well played.
God damn it. Who's more racist, me or Tyler Perry?
I don't know. I haven't seen enough Tyler Perry movies.
You've seen this whole show.
You?
Thanks.
I mean you.
Who's more racist, me or Mahogany Cards?
Mahogany Cards, by
Thank
far.
You so much. I appreciate that. people should follow Jamel where? Jamel?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Nonprofit comic on Twitter.
There you go. He's hilarious. You could see him all the time around the
I'm
city.
On that show at Iota with Natalie.
Go to that show. It's going to be a great
night.
Show. Ian, you can see next Saturday, the 17th, at the Black Hat with Lenorable. Thank you so much for doing this, Ian. We are going to set them up. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Anthony.
Anthony.
Why did I become from New York and Italian? Anthony Saltis Jr., everybody. Put your hands together for Anthony.
Thank you. This is called Whispers from the Womb in the Tomb. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Life is action-packed, listen close and follow your hunch. When push comes to shove, be ready to throw a punch. When you know you're wrong, be strong enough to just concede. When you know you're right, have the courage to stand and lead. And earn your keep, 8 hours of sleep. Don't follow the crowd, make Papa proud. And earn your keep, 8 hours of sleep. Don't follow the crowd, make Mama proud. Life can be a bore, but don't know the peace the silence brings. Differentiate between necessity and mere material things. When life gives you lemons, you ought to offer something in return. But when death comes a knock, and build a coffin or pick out your urn. And earn your keep, 8 hours of sleep. Don't follow the crowd, make Papa proud. And earn your keep, 8 hours of sleep. Don't follow the crowd, make Mama proud. Crowd, make Papa proud. And earn your keep, 8 hours of sleep. Don't follow the crowd, make Mama proud. And earn your keep, 8 hours of sleep. Don't follow the crowd, make Papa proud. Eyes of sleep, don't follow the crowd, make Mama proud. Thank you. This next one's for the adulterers out there, called Don't Tell Your Man. Tell your man I gave you a rose. No, don't you tell your man I gave you a rose. Because he'll punch me good square in the nose. I'm better off if no one knows. So don't you tell your man about that rose. Don't tell your man I gave you a kiss. No, don't you tell your man,
tell your man
I gave you a kiss. Because he'll rip my eyes right off my face and yank my tongue out from his place. Don't you tell your man about that kiss. Don't tell your man,
don't tell your man
that big bad man,
that big bad man.
Or I'll be tasting down ten knuckles from his big sledgehammer hand. I'm better off if no one knows. So zip your lip just to keep it closed. And don't you tell your man about that rose. Don't you tell your man about that rose.
Tell your man
about about that ring. No, don't you tell your man about that ring. Because your rip his heart out from his chest, all the beatings in the world would hurt me less. So don't you tell your man about that ring. Don't tell your man.
Don't tell that man.
That big bad man.
That big bad man.
Or I'll be tasting all ten knuckles from his big sledgehammer hands. I'm better off if no one knows. So zip your lip, just keep it closed. And don't you tell your man about that ring. Don't you tell your man about that ring. Thank you. Are there any Brazilians in the crowd? There we go. He even spoke in Portuguese, so we know for sure. This next one is in Portuguese, called Até o Fim, which means until the end. Actually, it's half in English. I lied. It's half in English, half in Portuguese. I'll be with you till the end of time, or until I get sick of you. You know that you could be a dream come true, but you could be a frightful nightmare too. I'll be with you till your head turns gray, or until I find a better match. Cause if I hook myself a better catch, you best believe our hips quickly detach. I promise not to make a promise, cause that's the only one I keep. So you would never miss a wink of sleep, a wink of sleep. I promise not to make a promise, cause that's the only one I keep. So you would never miss a wink of sleep, trying your best to keep, trying to keep this together. Trying to keep this together. I'm a feather floating up in the wind. It picks me up and puts me back down again. Cause I'm a feather floating up in the wind. It picks me up and brings me back down again. 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 Comigo até o fim do mundo. Pode que me encher o saco. Tu é sonho feito realidade. Mas às vezes eu prefiro a solidade. Fiquemos juntos até a morte. Pode que eu tiver mais sorte. Pela felicidade ou pela dor. Até encontrar alguém bem melhor. Prometo não fazer promessas, pois só com esta cumprirei. Prometo não fazer promessas, promessas. I promise not to make a promise, cause that's the only one I keep. So you would never miss a wink of sleep, trying your best to keep.
Keep this together. Keep this together. I'm a feather floating up in the wind. It picks me up and brings me back down again. Cause I'm a feather floating up in the wind. It picks me up and brings me back down again. 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 I get sick of you. At times you seem like you're a dream come true, but you can be a frightful nightmare too. I'll be with you till your head turns gray, or until I find a better match. Cause if I look myself a better catch, you best believe these hips wiggly the touch.
It's called O Librarian. She rocks fresh scarves and cardigans, probably vintage everything. Makes it seem so effortless, her doe-eyed stare, her shiny hair. She may seem snobby, but she's probably shy. A thrift store shopper with an eagle eye. Chamomile sipping pescatarian. I dream of now kissing this librarian. Oh, librarian. Oh, librarian. I swear I am the one for you. Believe me, cause I swear it's true. Oh, librarian. Oh, librarian. My book and take me home, and you will never be alone. Pasta, cause she comes correct. Catty eye glasses get mad respect. A winning personality and killer looks. Come organize my vinyl and my comic books. She may seem boring, she may seem plain, but I bet in the sack she's mentally insane. She's a dime, she's a Betty, makes me go shoo-wing. I dream of me kissing this librarian. Oh, librarian. Oh, librarian. Swear I am the one for you. Believe me when I swear it's true. Oh, librarian. Oh, librarian. Stamp my card and take me home. And you will never be alone. And you will never be alone again. And I will never be alone again. And she will never be alone again. And we will never be alone again. Oh, librarian. Oh, librarian. I swear I am the one for you. Believe me, cause I swear it's true. Oh, librarian. Oh, librarian. Stamp my card and take me home.